In 1992, Hurricane Andrew devastated Florida. It destroyed entire communities. It killed 26 people. It obliterated more than 25,000 homes and damaged more than 100,000 others. There was a news program that was going through the residential areas where it looked like every single home had been blown to smithereens by bombs. And there in the midst of all these devastated homes, there stood three houses. Each one of the houses had sustained some damage. You know, a few shingles off here, a broken window there, some siding maybe torn loose. But they were still standing, while all the others around them lay in what could only be called traces of what used to be houses. Well, upon inquiring about these three homes, a reporter learned that they had been built by Habitat for Humanity. And so he sought out the director of Habitat for that county. And finally, they found the man, and they had him brought in front of the cameras, standing before the houses that, even while they were there talking, were already starting to be repaired. He was one of these crusty old characters, individuals that had toothpick in the corner of his mouth, you know, and he was a retired building contractor. He had his T-shirt on, which was dirty and sweaty and stained from all the rescue and rehabilitation work he'd been doing. And his face was one of those that was permanently scarred, you know, by the sun in Florida as he had been working there for years. And so the reporter inquired how it was that the Habitat houses were still standing. And you know, as these pushy as some of these reporters are, you know, he goes, "Well, how was this possible? What was Habitat for Humanity's secret? Would you share the obviously miraculous construction standards that Habitat used to build such houses that could withstand a hurricane?" And the man said, "Sure, you know, I'll do that. And I'll share the building code that I had used and followed for the construction of these three houses." So he goes back to his truck and he produces the file of the plans and he shows a reporter. And as he did, he said, "It's just the regular old Florida state building code. When it said to use 2x6 trusses, we used 2x6 trusses. When it said use 16 penny nails and a hammer instead of a nail gun, why, that's what we did. I had heard that a house built to these standards could stand up to a hurricane. Well, sir, we did. And it did." He looked at all the devastation around and said, "Well, I reckon these were the only ones." When the wind is blowing and the rain is falling horizontally, it's too late to build houses to code. That has to be done early, while the sun's shining, while the ground's dry. Building a house soundly is part of the way that we prepare for the hurricane that may come. We must do it even if it doesn't come, but most certainly it will. Preparation is often what keeps us alive. Preparation is how we get ready. For many of us, and certainly for children, Advent is a time of waiting, of anticipating. For Christian adults, it's also a time for preparing and getting ready for the arrival of the Messiah. So how well have you prepared for Christmas? What blueprints are you using? Are you working hard to make sure that Jesus is a part of the celebration? You know, in A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie says to Linus, "Everything I do turns into a disaster." And Linus responds to Charlie, "You're the only person in the world that could take a wonderful thing like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Would that Charlie were the only one. But I fear this morning that he has a lot of company. The budget begins to take a beating. The date book gets jammed. The scales start to ascend. The bottle of Tums disappears. And we get that hurried and harried look, and we lose our perspective. So that Christmas, the measure and the message of the great burden bearer, begins to become a burden. You recall in that comic strip that Linus tells Charlie that the real meaning of Christmas is found in Luke as he begins to recite Luke chapter 2. "And there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each into their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he is of a house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it came to pass that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." You know, the Grinch is right when he says on Christmas morning that Christmas came to Whoville without ribbons or tags, without boxes or bags. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. Matthew tells us that John was calling his listeners to repentance, to look at their lives, to return to the blueprints, God's word. In essence, he was telling them to build well, to prepare their hearts to receive God's soon-to-be-born Savior, so that when the storms of life would come, they would be well prepared to weather the storm. And so what about us? Will we be ready and well prepared when Christmas comes? Will we be ready to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas by welcoming the Savior Jesus into our hearts and lives? Advent, with its four Sundays, is a great season on which these purposes can bring to us and to our families the understanding that we come to Christmas on our knees, in penitence, in expectation, in awe, in wonder, in gratitude, that a God of a million, million birthdays has led his son to the doorstep of the world to be our Savior. So as we prepare for Christmas, for the coming of Jesus, may we prepare well. May you and your families be filled with awe as you look at the world around you with all its failures and disasters, and you see in your hearts and lives the Savior Jesus, who brings peace and joy into those hearts and lives. May you have a most blessed Christmas. Amen.